Welcome! Special edition coming up, people.
Woo! Guess who's here? Guess back in the game.
Welcome! Back at it. Back at it again on the dance floor.
Hi, guys.
Thank you. We are the hype girls today.
Yeah! And he's in the middle. Well, on my screens, he's in the middle. Is it mine too? In the middle. Oh, yeah? I love that.
That's yeah, so okay. We're just
sandwiching him in.
I love it. Okay, I don't know why that was important to say, but yes, we're so excited to have Dr. Vince back in the house. He's going to give us a quick update, Yay! Tell me about your life, what's going on.
You guys hear about our updates all the time. It's way better to hear someone else's, for sure.
Well, I think since last time I talked to you guys on here, at least, it's mostly been work, which is, you know, just kind of the way it is. But I've gone on a couple more trips. We went over to like El Paso and went to Carlsbad Caverns and White Sands.
Oh, cool.
That was awesome. And then in the end of November, we went down to Quito and the Galapagos for a week.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
Wow.
With hammerhead sharks and
what
stuff like that.
One of my favorite influencers just went, and she like was just taking so many videos of the like sea lions. They're like dogs there, right? They just like follow you around. They're just like super close to you. You're not allowed to touch them, but like they're just like chilling with you at any point of the day, right?
Mm-hmm. I'll send you the one that I have of the little baby sea lion pup that just like came up to me and was sniffing my leg. Like they just come up to you. Sometimes they charge you, and that's a little scary, but
Okay.
Then you just take a few steps back and, you know, they kind of just flop towards you. So they'll stop after, you know, a few feet.
Oh my gosh. Funny. That's so crazy.
And they're so noisy all the time, 24 hours a day.
Yeah. Dang. Wait, that's like a bucket list thing for me. I'm so jealous. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What else is on your bucket list, Vince? Tell us. Where else are you going?
Well, we have our next trip booked already. In March, we're going to Taiwan for a week and a half. So I'm very excited
cool.
about that. You know,
what's in
I
Taiwan?
I want to go to Tokyo. It's a lot of like, the way I've seen it is kind of this like very similar feeling to going to like Japan or going to like South Korea right now. It's just like a lot of history, a lot of food, a lot of like mountains and waterfalls. And so I haven't been the one really doing that much research on what we're going to see there, but right. I get little blurbs on, you know, look at this tower, look at this museum, look at this, you know, mountain and forest and stuff. So I'm very excited about that. It's a little bit more affordable than going to Tokyo right now. So
This looks so amazing.
Yeah, dang. It's just never been on my radar even, so I'm just fascinated. Like, I haven't even thought about going there, honestly. Cool. That'll be great. We'll have to get an update.
Mm-hmm. This is, like, our strategy for picking places. We look at where it's going to be, like, the best deal at the time. It's like,
okay,
where can we go with miles? Where can we go, you know, get good prices on hotels, good weather at that time and stuff like that, and kind of let the universe decide for us.
Nice.
That's kind of cool.
That's
though.
So fun,
just
though.
Like wing it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Totally.
That's amazing though. Wait, I have a like legit question though, and this is probably a dumb one, but where did you stay when you were at the Galapagos? Did you like stay at a hotel on the island? Do they have like civilization there, or is it just still like a habitat?
Yeah, so Galapagos has a few like major islands, and each island has a small city on it.
Got it.
So we went to San Cristobal, which has their capital city, and I honestly can't even remember the name of the city right now, but we stayed at like a nice hotel right on the beach overlooking a big old sea lion family.
Yeah. That's awesome. I was just like picturing that in my head, and now I'm going to go on a Pinterest like downward spiral on all things Taiwan and just like pretend to be you for a little bit. That's aww, amazing.
Yeah, very cool. Wait, so sorry, we kind of got sidetracked by your like work stuff. So you're almost done. I know I just said sidetracked. You're almost done with your your fellowship. So then can you give us a little update of like what happens after your fellowship is over?
Yeah. So this fellowship is 2 years. I have a little less than 6 months left before I graduate.
Woo!
Basically that gives me the right to apply for my license and basically practice without supervision. I am in the process of interviewing at my current hospital to stay on with the same department. So I've gone through the easy part of like interviewing with my direct supervisors here who I've known for the last year and a half, but I'm still pending the interviews with like the higher up, because infectious disease is like underneath internal medicine, which is like your general adult medicine. So I have to interview with internal medicine as well. Okay. And I don't have dates on those yet. Those ones are a little more stressful though, because I don't work directly with them. So I don't know them. Mm. They don't know me, but everybody I've interviewed with so far knows me personally and has worked with me this whole time. So they're like, oh yeah, just let us know what your questions are.
Oh yeah. That's so nice though. I mean, what are the chances or like, what is the percentage of people who don't actually like stay on with where they're doing their fellowship?
It's going to depend a lot on the size of the program there. So this is a new position that's being opened. So like last year when our fellow graduated, there was no position for her to apply for. So she had to apply outside, but now they expanded one of our hospitals here. So we've been needing some extra help. So they got approval to like hire somebody to put there. So
cool. Nice. Well, that worked out for you. Absolutely. Good.
Yeah, and I love the people I work with. So I definitely am like, I'm like, let's do this, because I don't want to start applying and interviewing at other places.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have like a time period that you would have to like get another job by, just like to keep your fellowship like still valid or whatever?
No. Okay. And most places it's like you can, there's not really like a specific timeline. They're all kind of looking at like, oh, did you qualify for your boards? Did you pass your program? A lot of places you can actually start working before you pass your board exam, and you have to take it within like a certain amount of time after you start. But you know, a lot of it has to do with like financially what's a good decision for people, because you know, this whole time you're racking up debt, your student loans are gonna, you know, come out of deferment or whatever, and you need that. The income is a big part of it for people. I'm gonna probably take a little bit of time off before I start, but not too long.
Yeah, nice. Oh my gosh, it's also just so crazy. Like, oh man, I'm just so proud of you, because that is so long to be in school. Like, I am like dying for you. Like, I feel like I would not be well if I was still in school, to be quite honest. Like, that would be, no, my brain would not function.
That's so commendable.
I mean, I know you're not technically in school, but it's like, still, you've been doing this, like going towards this one goal for so
long.
You're
so close.
So. Yeah. Close. You're
Ask any so resident or fellow. We're not well either.
Oh man. Oh, but yeah, yay. Just think about it. Like, you're going to be, oh, that's so cool. You're so cool. I just love it. I'm so proud of you.
That's adorable. Oh, that's so sweet.
Anywho.
Yeah. Actually, why don't you do it for the, I feel like you do it so much better than I do when you explain it to the audience, because I'm like up and down and all around. So you go ahead and do it.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wait, can we like, not that you guys care about updates from us, but can we just say that we got so much feedback about how many times we said low-key in the last episode. So we apologize. We have been given strict instructions that we need a swear jar for the word low-key, and that we are no longer allowed to use the word low-key. So I'm going to try to explain everything in Kelly language that doesn't say like, doesn't like snap like that or whatever, or say low key or do that. All of the above. So here we go. Okay. Today's episode, We are very excited to have Vince on with us because we are going to discuss the Fourth Wing series. Actually, does it have a real name? See, these are things I don't even know, guys.
It's called the Empyrean series.
Okay, great. So we're going to talk about the Empyrean series, which there's book one and book two, which is Fourth Wing and then Iron Flame.
There you go. You're doing great.
And we are, the third book is coming up very shortly. Vince was actually texting me about it because he just got the books like near Christmas time. So he's been reading them, or the second book around Christmas time. Is that correct, Vince?
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So.
Yeah, I was reading Fourth Wing on the plane. And then I couldn't stop, so I had to get the second one.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So he also informed me that the third book is coming out very shortly, which I kind of like read a series. And then if there's not another book, I'm kind of just like, forget about it. Like, I don't really, you know, unless it's like brought to my attention. So anyways, it brought to my attention. Yeah. That the third book is coming out very shortly. So it's coming out on January 21st. Guys, confirm that date for me, please. Is that true?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
Yes. And then
that is confirmed. Confirm.
Great. So we're just going to kind of talk about like the first and second book, our favorites, like our all that kind of stuff, and then go into like predictions for the third book and kind of just get you guys excited about the series as well. I know that my brother has read them, but I don't know that many other people that listen that actually have like read the book. So I'm very curious. I mean, obviously it has a huge following. Like it got real kind of like Court of Thorns of Rosie, you know what I mean? Like people got real into it. So yeah, I mean, it is really good. Like YA is like coming back for sure. Am I wrong?
Mm-hmm. No, you're not wrong. It's definitely big. It's like out there. People have read it. And if you haven't, we're going to probably talk about some spoilers in here. So if you have an opinion about like, get out of here. I don't have time for that. So it's been around, get with it and figure it out. Go read it.
Yeah, actually, the second book came out in 2023. So if you guys haven't read it, November of 2023.
And so they're coming out with a TV series. So who's making it? Amazon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So it's going to be a thing. It's going to be a topic of discussion. There's supposed to be five books. The third book's just about to be released. Like, it's definitely going to be on the, like, high end. Or, like, people are going to be talking about it for a while. So get with the program and go read the book.
Yeah. Great. Okay, so does anyone want to start with their, like, recap?
Okay, actually, I have a better question. Like, which one did you like? Which one did you like better? Like, the Fourth Wing, or was Iron Flame, like, captivating? Which one do you think was, like, more exciting or, like, that you enjoyed?
I liked them both for different reasons. I really liked the world building in Fourth Wing. And the way that they introduce us to all these characters and like the concepts behind everything that they're doing, as far as like the way that the school is built and their military is built and like the process they go through towards like forming the bonds with the dragons. But I thought that the second one brought in a lot more just like complex story and like the mystery kind of behind what people know and what's actually happening was a lot more interesting. Like everything in the first one was just like, oh, this is really cool the way they did this. And then the second one was like, and all of this stuff is happening too.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I would say that my favorite part about like fantasy in general is like the world building and like trying to figure out their world and everything and like them setting the scene. And if the author is really good at like painting the picture for the reader, because I just have a hard time like imagining things, I guess. I don't have a good imagination. I don't know. So if the author is good at like explaining things and making me feel like I'm like in the world, I think that's really cool. So I did like the first book better just because of that. Like I liked the idea of everything. And the second book was pretty intricate where like they introduced, there's a lot of characters in the first book, but then they introduced like even more characters in the second book. And I was like, oh my God, I can't even keep the first book characters like straight. Like now I have to remember who's mom and sister and all of these other people are and how they're bad and how they're whatever. So anyways, I definitely think that the second book is important as like a builder book, but I don't like, yeah, I didn't really like follow it that well just because there was so much going on and so much information that you're supposed to follow. So that's where I kind of lose fantasy, is where there's too much going on that like you're supposed to make up all these like predictions and all of these like crazy stories in your head and like figure out where the author is going with it. Like my brain doesn't do that. I'm just like in the moment, you know. So Yeah, it's just a thing. I'm just reading the words, and if it keeps my attention, I love that. But anyway, what about you, Kaif?
What I like about this series is that I like to pay attention to, like, the mechanics, the politics behind things, like how the actual function of magic works. I like that there's, like, a council of dragons that are, like, elders that obviously don't communicate with humans. So, like, I think it's really interesting to see that part about it. And I really enjoyed kind of peeling the onion a little bit and figuring out what and how everything and why everything is working. But I'm also frustrated as well, because, like, nothing makes sense. Everybody's dying. They don't have a cure. Like, it's all, like, we're early enough in the series that I can't get too frustrated. There's a lot of conflict and a lot to be figured out, which is kind of the reason why I'm excited for Onyx Storm. Not to, like, see the characters again. Yes, I don't really care about love stories and stuff, but, like, why is the world on fire? Like, what happened and how do we fix it? Because the world is on fire. Everybody's dying. Just spoiler alert. But that's kind of what I'm looking forward to, is figuring out what's the next, like, arc of events. And how do they pivot back? Because I think they saved Besgaeth, but that's it. Like, everything else is destroyed and her mom died. And, like, her, you know, there's just a lot of, like, crumbling foundations. We don't really understand why or how they're going to fix it. So anyway, that's my take on it.
I will say, in the first book, when Liam dies, that I actually cried, and I, like, don't really am not a book crier. It was just so devastating, like, when you knew the dragon was going to die, and then you knew he was going to die, and, like, oh, and Violet, like, talking to him, oh, it was so sad. So, yeah, I do remember that just being, like, that is what really made me read the second book, is because I was, like, oh, my God, I'm so connected to, like, this character that's, like, kind of a side character, like, not even, like, a main character energy, so... yeah, I just, like, but mostly because I just love the dragon situation and, like, their connection and everything. So, but yeah, that is what really kept me going into the second book, was, like, I have to figure out, like, what the heck is going on. But anyway, yeah, the death is real.
Yeah. I want to see more stuff with the other characters, like Bodhi. And I want to see, what's her best friend's name? Rhiannon or something?
The best character in the book.
I love her. I want her around more often. And, like, her sister seems like such a badass. Like, what's going on with Amira, you know? And also, like, sus character around Brendan. I don't know if I trust that guy. Anyway, I want to know about, like, what happened. So I'm kind of excited about the book. But anyway, I do want to, like, talk about your favorite parts of the first book then. Because I loved the parapet scene. I don't remember being so captivated by, like, the wind wishing. They're definitely going to, like, fall off and die. And when the first cadet dies after she just met him for, like, 5 minutes. Oh, my God. I think that Rebecca Yarros does this, like, really good way to emotionally attach you and then, like, so fast kill the character, or, like, so fast turn it on you. And you're just, like, emotionally reeling. Like, why did I have to know that individual's name and that he wanted to, like, marry his, like, sweetheart or whatever, and just to watch him fall to his death? Anyway, that was, like, the first introduction to, oh, this is going to be a heartbreaking series. This is brutal. Anyway.
And she did a really good job of contrasting that in the second book, where she specifically, like, don't learn anybody's name because they don't matter until they, you know, until after threshing. Mm-hmm. So it's like the first one is, like, you meet everybody and you learn their name and their backstory, and on the same page they plummet to their death. And then in book two, she's like, I don't even want to know your name. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Like, you don't exist until you survive threshing.
Yeah, I know. It's so sad. But it is, like, yeah, the world is really cool. And just, like, how Rebecca Yarros is able to, like, describe the world and, yeah, how they go through everything is really cool too. But sorry, Vince, what's your favorite part of the first book?
So I love, like, kind of similar to what Kayfler was saying about, like, the systems behind all of it. I love learning about, like, the different types of dragons. And, like, so when they did the presentation where they just kind of walk back and forth and it's, like, all the different dragons and, like, the way that and that one girl that was being a bitch and she just, like, got lit on fire. I was like,
oh, my God,
that gave me so much joy.
I totally forgot about that. She just took two steps and then was, like, gone. It was crazy.
But between that and, like, you know, guessing, like, that buildup of, like, oh, what kind of dragon? Like, you know her dragon is going to be ridiculous, but you're like, which one's it going to be? I don't know. And then people are starting to get them, and I'm just like that whole lead up to threshing was just like super exciting for me. I loved like trying to figure out what kind of dragon it's going to be. And then of course it's like twist, 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 twist after that. And you're like, oh, there's two. And one's crazy.
I was going to say, I feel like Andarna just has like so much more, we have so much more to learn about her because she obviously like evolved so much in the second book and everything. But in the first book, you just love her so much. And you just like, yeah, obviously she's a baby, but like also she's huge. So it's like, I don't know, so wild. So like her and Violet, like kind of, you know, what do you call it? Like a theme, as Mrs. Hayes would say in our AP English class. Like we would, the theme would be that they're like growing together and they're like learning together or whatever. And they're, yeah, they're trying to figure out life together. So I just love that like pairing so much. But Andarna just has like such bad bitch energy that I am obsessed with her. And yeah, even though Violet drives me crazy, like Andarna makes me like want to pretend like I can handle her. So yeah.
Bad bitch energy, I get, is mostly Sigale. Like, she's the one who's, like, calling the shots.
True, she's mean.
Snapping people. I love that for her. I want
Sigale
her to
has,
mean.
Like, two lines in the whole series so far, though. And Darna's just, like, either, like, talking nonstop or, like, completely icing Violet out and not talking at all. And she just kind of flips back and forth. It was a little bit frustrating, honestly, for me, because I agree. I love Andarna, and I, like, would take a bullet for her in book one. And then in book two, she was, like, going through her, like, teeny bopper phase. And I was just like, oh, okay, all right. It's going to be worth it. She's going to be awesome. I just have to wait for it.
Yeah. Taryn is also very grumpy, and I hope that he, like, doesn't do anything crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I am worried about her because obviously people die when their dragons die, but she has two dragons. So like some of the talk on TikTok or whatever has been around potentially Taryn like having a like cataclysmic event or whatever. So I don't know what's going to happen, but
well, there has to be a change
in
the
characters. And I'm like,
if that were the case, yeah, there has to be something that happens to where she wouldn't die, you know? Crazy.
Yeah, because she's two dragons, so like I don't understand how that. Also, another question that I have for you: you know how she like centers herself in her like library or whatever, and there's like different portions of the room that associate with different people, and that's like the energy or slash connection that she has. Like, what would that look like for you if you're like meditating and trying to like ground yourself? What's your safe space look like?
And not hear Zayden like screaming at you through your brain. That would be so annoying. Like, that's
literally. That sounds like the worst thing possible, to have like an immediate connection to my husband and like feel what he's feeling and hearing what he's hearing. Like, no, thank you.
I was going to say, not only the fact that it's like your boyfriend or husband or whatever, but like it's also someone who is like in this like fight with them along. Yeah. Anyways, so just
right.
Crazy.
Right. Right.
Vince, you go first. I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
Yeah. I mean, if I call my office here, like my office at home, my sanctuary, because it's, I have my computer, I have my bookshelves, I have my plants and my cat. And like, this is where I come to relax and enjoy myself. And it's been in utter turmoil lately because we had a leak and they had like ripped out half the wall back behind me. And so I had that whole like TV stand there pulled halfway across the room, and I had to like squeeze my chair into my desk, and they finally came and fixed it like on Wednesday or Thursday. And it was such a relief to like have my sanctuary back. So I'm like, this would definitely be my sanctuary.
There you go.
Nice.
Good. Sorry about that though. Leaks are like,
I know.
It took them a year to fix it. So
a year? Oh, that's so unacceptable. Whoa. Absolutely not.
They kept sending people out like four different times, and it would just keep leaking. And now,
what are they all fixed. Idiots? Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
the cheap ones. It's the cheap ones. We rent.
No.
Dang. Yeah. Well, I'm glad it's all fixed, right? Like, no worries. Good.
Mm-hmm. Good.
What about you, Kel?
I would say most likely, like, my bed is my sanctuary, but I know that that's not a good thing because, like, that's only supposed to be for sleeping or whatever. But, like, I'm just so happy to get in my bed at the end of the day because I'm, like, usually, like, on the go and, like, murmuring around. So it's just like taking a shower and like getting in bed is like the happiest part of my day.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel really old. So
I didn't expect that to be your answer. I thought it was going to be something
else. Oh, really? Oh, funny. I mean, I do like the thing that like clears my brain, I guess, if that's really what you're asking, is like a walk or something, like a really long walk where I just like listen to podcasts or whatever is kind of like where I get like my recharge, but my bed also, I guess. Yeah. What about you, Kate? Yeah.
Definitely my shower. My shower is like my thinking space. It's awesome. It's amazing.
In the nude, in your birthday suit?
Yeah, just me hanging out. It's in my own brain. It's like my sanctuary with Tigar.
Sanctuary.
Oh, God. Okay, that was a good one, though. Thanks for indulging me.
Yeah. Okay, let's talk about the second book.
Okay.
Because there's a lot to unpack there, I feel like, if we want to. I personally don't really have too many thoughts on it because there was so much going on and so many people died. So, you know, there's a lot of new names. Even I just like read a recap and I was like, oh my goodness, like I don't even remember half of these people's names. And so that's not good. But anyway, I'm sure it'll come back. But what was your guys' like big takeaway from the second book, or like what made you like excited about it or kept you like entertained by it?
I was just trying to piece together the kingdom and like how does the allies work and like who has what location on the map. So, because they're all gonna die, like there's this like horde of evil blah 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 marching across the way, and so like there's no collective defensive strategy either. It seems to me like they're all like segmented or whatever, because you have griffins and then you have dragons and it's like different thrones or different viscounts of something or whatever who has a chest. I don't even know. There's just a lot going on. So I was just trying to piece together what was happening. I don't think that they solved the problem though. At the end of the book, I think I was just so disappointed in like more problems and no answers or no solutions. And just felt like kind of overwhelming at the end of it. Like, okay, how do you get past this? Because you still haven't gotten past anything else. Like nothing was really, I didn't really feel like there was a big aha moment to solve the problems in the second book. So anyway.
Yeah, it was kind of this weird thing where they spent the first half of the book trying to come up with some solution to protect Zayden's home area. And then in the end, they just figured it out like in a split second and had to use it on the school instead. And it's like, well, we don't have that option anymore because the dragons are used up. So it's like all of their efforts in the beginning are like, well, now you have to decide, like, are they still going to try? And I guess that has a lot to do with like where they're going to go with the third book, right? It's like, are they going to try and still protect or salvage that? I can't remember the names of the towns. Remembering the names of the people is hard enough, but
yeah.
Or are they going to now band together with the school? I don't know.
Did they leave the second book at Basgaiath? Like they're at the school right now, right? Or are they? Okay. Got it.
Because they just had the battle at Basgaiath. And that's where. Like,
yeah, I think you're right.
That's where Zayden.
Okay.
Yeah. He turns around. But wait.
Exactly. He's just like.
Yeah, and he's all scary and stuff. But no, I did think my big takeaway, or not takeaway, but just like exciting part, I think from the first or from the second book was at the beginning when like her brother comes back, quote unquote, like comes back. He didn't ever actually leave. Like she thought he was dead. And then he just goes by a different name and he's like this great healer, which I think is so cool. And I think that's definitely going to come in like a later part. Obviously, like he's working with them, but like I think that his powers may be a little bit bigger or better than like what he thinks they are or something. So I'm curious to see what will happen with that, with like her brother situation.
Yes, sus Brendan. I mean, I get it, but sus, I don't trust him. I don't know. Like, why did he have to pretend to be dead? Like, I don't get it. I don't know. I get it, but I don't agree with it. So sus Brendan. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know that I feel like suspicious about Brendan so much as I feel like he tends to think, he just thinks that he's right about everything. And so he'll just act on his own beliefs without, I don't know, there's like the council and stuff, but they're so like behind the curtain that it's hard to tell sometimes if he's just like making decisions and I don't know, thinks that he's right.
Yeah, their leadership group is like not super impressive because they're not able to figure out how to make weapons that can take down the Venon. And then they're trying to like put up the wards again or extend the wards. And they still didn't solve that problem. And I'm like, yeah, just again, like I don't know what they're going to do because they're in a pickle. And historically speaking, they don't know how to get out of a pickle. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting, but I think my favorite part about the second book, I don't know. I definitely like the Tirindor background and all the different characters and the Griffin writers, and then they come together. But I appreciate that Dane had like a little bit of a character redemption. I just don't know if that's going to stay. So I don't want to like him, but I think I like Dane. Just a little bit.
I never liked him. She was just being a brat to him. Like, she's like, I don't like him. Like, whatever. Just because she kissed him and she didn't like it or whatever. I'm like, bro, chill out. He's like a good ally. I know. Mm. But still, like, whatever. Just like, let him like you. It's fine.
Let him like you. Oh, man.
No, I think the moments that I look forward to the most I enjoyed the most in the second book were like the, you know, the reunions. So when it was like Mira and Brendan realizing, you know, mm-hmm. Mira realizing that Brendan's still alive, when Mom realizes that Brendan's still alive, and when that cat, the Griffin Rider girl.
Mm-hmm. Cat.
Decided that she didn't need to be a bitch to Violet anymore. I enjoyed that too. Just kind of like those like flips of, you know, realizing that, oh, you don't suck as much as I thought.
After she saved her like 3 or 4 times.
She had to earn it.
I kind of like you, yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how that, like the relationship between the Griffin Riders and the dragons starts to evolve. And like, because they have to come together and to some degree put some alliance. Yeah, I'm just frustrated that like nothing has been done. So I'm hoping, let's talk a little bit about Violet's second signet, if that's okay, and some predictions. If only because there's been a lot of opinions online. I am not going to take credit for anything. This is definitely something I saw on TikTok. But I'm really hoping that she's a truthsayer because it's going to be like one in a quarter century or whatever the heck it is, like 500 years or something. I don't know. But if she's a truthsayer, that means like people can't lie to her. So she has to like figure out what happened and who created the Venon and not like be propagandized by her, like her scribe training, you know? I don't know.
Wait, did you just think of that in your brain? Or
no, it's definitely something that's like been talked about quite a bit.
I'm being serious. Because, like, I read so many different things of what her second signet can be. So I'm like, wow, Cave, did you just think of that on your own? That was not one of the ones that I've read. And there's, like, a lot that I've read. So I was like, oh my God, what's the deal?
Yeah, I was super impressed because that was, like, way beyond anything that I was thinking in my head.
Yeah.
It makes sense, though. You know, it's something that she values. And they're like, your signet comes from yourself. So it's like, you know, she values the truth a lot, so, and knowledge, mm-hmm. and like some.
What did you think, Vin?
Nothing so deep. You know, I was trying to think of like the things that she values and the things that are important to her, and I think part of it too is like how much to come up with a theory like that. You have to kind of pay a lot more attention to the different signets they describe throughout the series, which did not do. I don't know what I think it would be, because honestly her first signet doesn't really, I don't know that I've thought about it enough to make sense of why she can like wield lightning in the first place, so it's like not as rational as that.
Yeah, I know that like her ability to wield lightning isn't as, I don't know, convincing as I think people make it out to be. like her mom is the storm person and her dad is a scribe, but I'm like, why does she need to throw lightning bolts all across the sky? I don't see where that need comes from. But maybe I need to do a little bit more research, because I'm sure somebody on like a Reddit thread has decided to put like a full 18 paragraph thing and proving that she has X, Y, and Z, whatever.
Well, that's why I think personally that she can just take other people's power. So she can like yield or whatever, just like assume other people's powers or something. And mm-hmm. So someone has to be able to throw lightning. They just don't know it yet. Like maybe Indarna or something with the dragons too. I can't figure that out either, but I feel like she either can like take other people's powers or signets that they already have and she can do it as well, or it's something with the dragons, like she's able to like use their power. I don't know, something along those lines. But
yeah, any other predictions? Do you like, what do you hope happens in the next book?
A lot more smut.
On that note, I did not know that that's what I was getting myself into when I picked
up. Oh my gosh, funny. They're intense scenes too.
They are intense scenes. And I remember like, oh, there's going to be this like romance. That's fine. And she's like, you know, checking him out, but she's afraid of him and like kind of hates him. But then when it like really started to get spicy, I was like, oh, you know, like... I did not realize that that was the book I was reading until it was happening.
Yeah. Were you shocked?
I was very shocked.
Status, you know? Crazy.
I wasn't mad, but I was surprised.
I think with the third book... I mean, I think what I want to happen is, yeah, to like a few more things to like come into the fold and then try to explain the story that they already have going instead of trying to add all these other additional like confusing components to it, because that will lose me for sure. Because like Crescent City, first book was good, like the world building and everything. Second book was like, okay, I'm getting it. But third book was just so far out there that I'm just nervous now that things are going to like...
so bad.
Series are going to turn like that, you know, where you're just like, wait, what? This is not at all... So anyways, I don't think...
Yeah.
That, I think Rebecca Yarros is a good writer, so I don't think that will happen. But I just want them to kind of like wrap up, like you were saying, kind of just like figure out where they're going with what they have instead of trying to like build the world even bigger and like... do bigger, better, instead of just like talking about the characters that they already have and building on them and stuff. So that's like my one hope. But like, we all know that like the whole main thing about the third book is going to be about like Zayden becoming a Venon and like them trying and Violet being all upset about it and her trying to like fix him and save him and all that stuff. So we just have to mentally prepare ourselves for that and for Violet to be annoying. So yeah, I think that... they have to have two more books after it though too, so there has to be some more like building, I guess. So anyway, those are my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, they could dedicate this whole book to trying to fix Zayden, and
yeah, exactly, and it could be boring AF. But...
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's also going to be like kind of unraveling the mystery of Indarna, like finding out that she's not actually a black dragon. And we don't really have a name for it yet, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
But so I hope that, you know, figuring out a little bit of what's going on there with like having a second dragon who's kind of a mystery, and then also Zayden as like the two. I don't know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think for me, I want two, maybe three things to happen. I want them to explain like why her dad was so... like there's a conspiracy happening in the scribe quadrant, like something's going on, propaganda, things have been changed. And then like her mom was doing studies on cures or ways to like work with Venon. So like something, somebody knows something. So like I want another big clue like that. And then I want them to find a weapon. They have to find a weapon that's like reproducible because they have to make a bunch of stuff to kill Venons. Like I'm hoping they can solve that by getting a luminary or like getting somebody that will make weapons for them. And then I do want to hear more about Indarna and her background and why she's so significant. And like, what does that mean for Violet? I predict that they're not going to save Zayden. Not to say that he's going to die, but like I see him kind of shifting and being more of emotionally unstable because he's, yeah, a little bit. I think he's, I don't know. I think that could possibly happen if he comes up against the wall and he has to choose between being good or bad and Violet's not like an option. He's going to choose bad so he can save her like he already did. So like, I think that that character flaw is going to be repeatable. Anyway, that's kind of what I'm hoping for, but I really want to understand what the heck is
Doesn't matter.
Going on. I mean, he's a shadow daddy for a reason.
Yeah, for real.
Anyway, cool. I'm excited. Like, I think it's only about 7 or 8 days away, but I think I pre-ordered it. So I get it like at midnight. I don't think I'm going to read it like all in the day, but I will probably get through it fairly quickly. And I'll come back and we'll talk about it.
You know what my downfall was, I think it's because I listened to them on audiobooks last time. So maybe I should read it real time this time and maybe I'll absorb more of the information.
I don't know how you do that. I would like stop paying attention.
Yeah. I just listen to so many podcasts. Yeah. Anywho. Yeah, let's go into. Wait, Vince, you have any parting words? Do you want to say anything additional about the book before you go to Gratitudes and Grievances?
No, I think my last thought is that I just really hope Violet learns how to aim in the book. Because, like, a whole book, she still can't aim.
Oh, man, that's hilarious. I know, I kind of hope she becomes
a little bit badass. That is a euphemism, everyone. For something else. Just kidding. Just kidding. Okay, wait, let's go into... Should we do a grievance or should we just go into gratitudes? Because gratitudes are more fun.
Let's just go into gratitudes. Yeah. Let's like fill in the vibe. Go for it.
Oh, me? Okay. I am very grateful for everyone who came over last night for the housewarming party and to celebrate Kat. It was super fun. It was just like perfect, like low key. There was a lot of people in the house, but it didn't feel like too crazy or too overwhelming or anything. And so it was just like the best, having all my peeps under one roof. And I'm so grateful that I texted Vince very last minute on Thursday, maybe, or Friday even, and was like, will you record with us this weekend? And he said yes. So it was the best. And it's so nice just to see your face. And I miss you. And I love that you texted me so much and about the pod and just giving me updates and everything. Oh, wait. Also, if you want to kind of do your gratitude, but also give Cave your two cents on the whole like Wicked situation. I would love that.
Oh my god, it changed everything. no, so I mean, I wanted
to throw you for a loop.
And you know, I'll do like a separate one, but like I just want to say that I am really grateful that I get to like listen to the podcast and feel like I'm part of the conversation and get to, you know, get the updates on your life, so that even though I'm over here in Florida by myself, I can like still kind of be in the loop and I can text you about things and come here and be on the podcast is so fun. You know, but I will say, like, when I hear when the gratitude is like, I'm grateful for you. No, I'm grateful for you. I'm like, come on.
I know. That's the dumbest thing ever. That's when you know we didn't prepare.
So I will say, though, that I am very grateful that I'm kind of at a place in my life right now where I sort of know like what my next steps are. And I have a little bit more, you know, certainty where I'm going to be in the future, as opposed to, you know, the past 10 years of what school am I going to get into? What hospital am I going to be at? Now it's kind of like, it's feeling more and more certain that I'm going to be able to stay where I am, and just kind of having all of that sort of laid out for once feels really nice.
That's awesome. I'm so proud of you. Yeah.
And I loved Wicked.
Yes!
I loved it. I thought that it was such a good adaptation from a play. Like, from they kept every song. They made some adjustments that I felt like fit really well. The dancing was so good. And I thought that, you know, I thought that Ariana did. See, I wasn't even prepared. I'm like trying to remember names. It's like my weak point, trying to remember names. I thought Ariana did a really good job of kind of bringing to life the stage character. And I feel like I need to read the book now because, to have like a really valid opinion on it. But I've heard that they're not that similar, the book and the show. So it's like her portrayal in the movie, I felt like was a good portrayal of Glinda, the character, from the show. Because while she did kind of like emulate Kristen a little bit, Glinda has been played by tons of people on stage now, and so they're all
That's
trying to kind
true.
of bring that energy, and that silliness and that kind of like naivety. And I thought, the first scene of the movie really struck me when she's singing about like everybody's celebrating that the Wicked Witch is dead, and you can see she's like smiling with her mouth and like sad with her eyes, and I was just like, oh, you can act. Okay. Good.
Yeah, I
But
think she did a great job. Keefe is just a hater.
get out. I love Ariana Grande. I love all of her albums. I know she's kind of a train wreck romantically, but like she's awesome. I love her. But the character was very much Kristen Chenoweth. And to your point, like maybe that's the character that she established, and that's why it's so popular and it's so iconically Glenda. So like having Ariana bring that to the screen makes a lot of sense. But yeah, while I was watching it, I was like, is this, where is Kristen? Where are you? You're just like talking out of Ariana's mouth. Like, what's going on?
That's fair.
Anyway, but yeah, you should read the book. You might actually like it. It's not as, salacious as Fourth Wing, but it's still a good book.
Okay.
No surprises there, I promise. Anyway, are we in the middle of gratitudes? Can I be grateful?
Yeah, your gratitudes now, Cave. It's you.
Okay, great. Here I go. Grateful that you live so close. Like, I just needed to get out. Portland has been so rainy and so gray. It's just been like a weird funk lately. And so I got to go drive over to Kelly's house and just like stay the night and get out of the city. It was
We
sunny, it
had a
was snowy, it was so
sleepover.
cold. It was so fun though. The party was great. And Lex did this such a cute song that was like very iconic. They sang Happy Birthday to Kat. It was really sweet. So anyway, good party, good food. What's up, Squish? And yeah, it was great. Just grateful for the weekend. And I'm
Yeah.
hating that Monday is in tomorrow. Literally, it's tomorrow. Oh my God.
Yes,
Ugh.
we're so close. It's insane. I know, for real. Well, thank you again, Vince, for coming on and being here with
Yeah,
us.
thank you
We
for
love
having
it.
me.
And we'll
I
definitely
can't
have
wait.
to do a recap after we read it. But we all, I haven't pre-recorded it, so I'm not that cool, but I will get right on it. I promise.
I also want to hear about Taiwan and I want to hear more about travels and stuff. So, like, next time we touch base, we need to talk about that too.
Gladly.
Yeah.
It's so
And
good to see you.
like,
Thank you for coming on.
yeah, good luck on your last few months. We're so stoked for you and like hope you're just gonna kill it.
Yes.
We
Thank
can't wait to hear
you.
about it. Yeah, good luck on your
All the
interviews.
positive vibes.
Yeah, for
Yes, I
sure.
promise to visit the Pacific Northwest once I have a little bit more free time.
Yay! I'm so excited. Yeah, Kate will come over for it too. It'll be great. That'll be so fun.
Totally.
Cool.
Yay!
All right.
Well, we love you
Well,
all.
that's it for us. We love
Thanks for
you.
being candid.
Bye. Vinny, say bye.
Bye.
That's all for today's episode of Candidly 30.
Hope you enjoyed listening as much as we enjoyed chatting.
If you like what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast and leave a 5-star review.
Your feedback helps us make the show even better.
Follow us on Instagram at Candidly 30.
Thanks for being candid with us.